This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening. You are listening to Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. And on Pop It, Pop It today, we're discussing public spaces and more specifically, how to share them. Because you may have seen this video. So there was a woman on an American Eagle flight. This was in the United States. And what happened was, after everyone was done with their meal, she did what a lot of people do. She reclined her seat. And then the man behind, I guess, started punching it in protest.
Yeah, so she recorded the man on her phone thinking that it would stop him from punching her seat, but he just kept going. And to make things worse, apparently a flight attendant asked her to delete the video or risk being kicked off. And the steward who told her off even offered the man some drinks as compensation.
Yeah, so I think this really opened up a conversation about etiquette on flights, right? And we're going to expand it, I think, to discussing etiquette when it comes to sharing public spaces. Because in general, I think in an urban setting, most of the time, we do find ourselves crammed in with a lot of people. I'm thinking here of things like elevators, restaurants,
public
waiting rooms. Yeah. There are just all these situations where we do find ourselves really tightly huddled in with other people. And I think there are also lots of things that people could be doing to annoy you. You know, there are simple things, talking too loud, you know, sort of inching into your personal space. On a plane, for example, reclining. So I think there are all these ways in which our patience is tested by one another on a daily basis. And this is a really interesting example of that.
Yeah, with planes specifically, because you are sort of sardined into small spaces. And we are here talking about an American plane where, you know, the space is even smaller, especially if you happen to be tall. And I think the man in question here was actually taller and he was in a seat that couldn't be reclined. So, you know, there are just a few things here, right? Being on a plane is stressful enough and very anxious. It's an anxiety-induced inducing situation. So there's a bunch of rules that you're expected to follow etiquette that you're expected to follow while you're in the plane, right? You're not supposed to be too loud. You're supposed to disembark calmly. You're supposed to, you know, maybe not even eat things that are too fragrant because it is an enclosed space.
An enclosed space that you can't get out of, I think, is very important here because you really are stuck there for hours on end. And so when I first saw this, I thought about my own behavior on planes. And the thing is, I never recline, even if I probably could, I guess, you know, even if I could justify it because it's a long flight or the person behind me isn't particularly tall. I do my best to almost never recline simply because whenever I sit down and someone else in front of me reclines, I just have that sense of, oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no. And so I really try not to do that to the person behind me. I've also never actually been asked whether it was okay, because one of the things that's come up from this is people have said, it's fine to recline, but you should ask the person behind you. Nobody has ever asked me, my friends. And I would say that out of maybe 50% of my long haul flights, I have had somebody's head basically in my lap. And so, you know, a full recline. And I just never do that to other people. But I also find it really hard to, you know, to get mad simply because I'm like, well, you paid for your seat. And I suppose, you know, that includes the right to recline. So fine.
I didn't know you could do a full recline because...
No, I mean full as the seat will allow. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm someone who reclines on most flights.
I know. You mentioned.
Yeah. Except maybe for the short haul ones. But I usually take a peek behind to see if anyone is behind me. And I would also check if they have their, you know, the thing open, if they have a drink or a laptop or phone or something on it before maybe reclining. If they do have it, I ask if I could, because otherwise it's free game. I expect to be able to, because I think in general, it's for me, how I view it, it's a bit laissez-faire, where everyone can be allowed to recline their seat.
Yes, everyone can.
But politely and with some consideration, considerately reclining a seat.
Well, the thing is, for me, I don't know if other people share the same view, but I tend to go at it with as to why I find it impossible to sort of tell other people off for it, it's because I think about when I think about the rules of sharing public spaces that we pay for, so I'm not talking about free public spaces, but public spaces where you're waiting for a service or where you've actually paid to be there, for example, a restaurant, it's really difficult to sort of look at other people and go, oh, can you stop taking up so much room, or can you stop being so noisy? Because the truth is that they have paid just as much as you have, maybe more if they're a large table, for the right to be in that space, for the right to make that sort of noise. So I think it's kind of a really a tricky argument when it comes to talking about sharing these spaces and what we owe one another in terms of politeness. I don't know if there is a rule book out there, or it depends on your personality. I suspect it's the latter.
Yeah, say for restaurants, for example, you know, depending on the vibe, how loud are you able to be? Right, does that mean you can't clang your, your cutlery, or can you not talk too loud, for example? Or even for that fact, you know, if you think about public restrooms, there's this. I don't know if it's an actual rule or if it exists here, but you're not, in the men's room at least, you're not supposed to take the urinal right next to someone. You take one and you just leave a gap out.
A 1-3-5.
Yeah, 1-3-5. If it's even numbers, it's just a 2 and 4 or 1 and 3. So I don't know if that actually exists, because sometimes it seems like it does, sometimes it seems like it doesn't.
So yeah, we're talking today about sharing public space in light of a video that's gone viral of a man punching a seat in front of him on a plane because a woman reclined in it, and I think he probably just felt that that was not cool to do, you know, in terms of social etiquette. So I'd love to know whether or not you are a recliner, whether you are somebody on a plane who will always recline. Do you not? What do you think is the etiquette surrounding this? And in general, how should we be thinking about how we share public space? Because especially in urban settings, it's just happening all the time. You can call us at 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
And this being Popette, we wanted to find out what the public thought. So we asked them who they think is at fault in this situation and why.
I think the guy at the back is at fault because on the plane, well, you're entitled to move your seats to put it back a bit. And they already kind of like designed the chairs not to go overboard. So I think they are in their own space. So his fault.
The lady, because she could have at least looked at her surroundings first before reclining the seat all the way, to ask at least at the back if the person at the back is okay with her reclining the seat.
Well, of course, the one who is sitting behind, knocking on that seat in front, he or she is the one at fault, because she allowed it to happen in the first place. Should have, you know, should have mentioned or should have told the person sitting in front to not actually recline her seat too far back.
So I think the lady who reclined the seat is at fault, because the guy did tell her once that he wants to eat. So when he was done, she just looked at him and thought he was done, but maybe he wasn't. So if she actually turned around and asked him, that would be more polite in that way. And then if he said, fine, you can recline, then yeah.
This is a fraught situation, guys. So our follow-up question was whether our respondents think that they practice good etiquette in public spaces.
Yeah, I'd say I'd look into seeing if what I'm doing, if it benefits me, it doesn't put anyone else under jeopardy.
I would like to think so, because I like to be aware of my surroundings and people around me before doing anything reckless.
Yeah, but also no at the same time, because I have to be honest.
Yes, I think I am one of those who practices good etiquette in public.
And we also asked if they think Malaysians are good at observing social etiquette.
I think I can say 50-50. Same goes to any country anyway. There is some people who don't, but I think most of us, we do observe social etiquette.
Actually, to be honest, not really, because I realise in public transportation, like in Singapore, when there's an empty seat on the LRT, MRT kind of thing, nobody actually runs to fight for the seat. So everyone's just like, oh, they'll just leave the seat empty and just stand because they don't really mind. Yeah, but in Malaysia, I noticed that everyone runs to a seat, no matter how old, how young you are. So it's not really fair in a way. Yeah, and they don't stand up when old people come in or people with children.
On a scale of 10, probably 5, just to be kind.
For me, it would be 50-50, because not everyone's the same. Some people are towards selfishness and some people are towards thinking about other people, how their thoughts are.
And lastly, we asked, what are some of their pet peeves?
You know, when you hold a door for someone, you know, to enter ahead of you or maybe after you, and they just, you know, pass you by as though like nothing happened, without acknowledging, without even a smile, much less saying thank you.
When people are on the road and they do not indicate, they don't signal to turn, I find that very annoying because you never know, they suddenly turn.
When people are inconsiderate towards others, I just genuinely assume that they're a bad person.
If we see someone make any wrong move or what, just honk once is fair enough. Don't have to like continue doing it all the way. It's very annoying. I think that's the most annoying for me, right? I'm already pissed off right now already talking about it.
And that is exactly why we wanted to talk about it. So yeah, share your pet peeves with us, especially when it comes to all the social bits and niceties that we have to observe when it comes to sharing public space. And we've seen a lot of shared spaces becoming a thing, especially when it comes to co-working space, for instance. So on the line with us is Audrey Uy, Colony Executive Director of IDT and Architects. Audrey designed the office spaces of Colony, which is a co-working space. Audrey, thank you so much for joining us. So how do architects or designers take into account the size of a space and how it will affect social interactions?
Okay, so when we build our spaces, there is a certain measurement that we try to keep to in allocating space for workstations, for example. So, how wide and how long the space is to make sure that even that you have enough space to get into your seat in the first place and you're able to work comfortably, which means that we always try to make sure it's just for maximum comfort and ease of working. That we try to make sure that our spaces are evenly spaced out with enough room to put the things that you need to put and enough room to move your chairs back or to stand up or to give even to stretch out a little bit without hitting somebody else or bothering someone else. And in terms of walkways and all that, we are also very careful. We have certain measurements that we stick to make sure that people, when you're walking down like a long corridor, for example, you don't feel claustrophobic. There's enough space for you to move but comfortably. You're not going to hit someone when you're walking. But it really depends on personal preference of what people like. But normally we try to put them towards the side and next to each other or facing or opposite each other. So if you're working, if you're working in a company and you take up a space of your own, a private office of your own, you're able to communicate with your colleagues more effectively. You know, you don't have to like get out. You don't have to like squeeze past spas other people who are seated, for example. And so yeah, we do plan that in order for people to be able to communicate better and easier with their co-workers.
Are smaller spaces necessarily bad for good interactions?
I wouldn't say that they're in terms of interaction, I wouldn't say that they're good or bad. I think it depends on personal preference. We do have small spaces. We do have offices that are slightly smaller, or maybe because they are catered for smaller size companies, like 2 to 3 workstations. I think it can be conducive if it's a very tight knit. It's a small company. It's easy for you guys for them to speak to each other and to communicate. But in doing that, so we do have some small offices, but we always make sure that even if it's a small office, it has a window so that it doesn't feel claustrophobic. You're not just stuck in a cramped room with other people that you may or may not like. We always create very big windows in all our offices. Even if it's not a window that's facing outside the building, even if it's facing like inside towards the inside, the central areas of the building, we make them big and we decorate, we fit in decorations outside so to give the eye some interest when they look outside, for example.
And continuing this, I guess, notion of how it is that space might affect how people interact, I mean, are there examples that you've seen where designing a space actually has a positive or negative impact on how people interact?
Okay, so I grew up in Penang, in Georgetown, actually. And my grandparents took care of me when I was young. So I lived with them in like a, I don't know what the proper name for it is, but it was like one of those British colonial shop houses or townhouses. The ones that are like, that come with like the very ornate looking windows and doors. And then they're all connected by like a 5-foot way, like a kaki lima, right? So I grew up there and, what I remember then was that, it was like a whole street full of families and kids and all that. What I remember then was that we were completely free because of this, because of the way that the houses were built with like the khaki lima in front. Like we were completely free to run to our neighbors' houses without worrying, and like our parents, our grandparents wouldn't worry about us. Like they knew that we were safe because of the way it was. And I feel like because of that, the sense of community growing up there was very strong compared to what we have now. Like even though we live in condos and we're so close to each other, so I just remember like running in and out of like our neighbors' houses. And their kids would do the same. They would come over. And it was like growing up with like a huge family instead of just one family in one house. Like that was one of like my strongest childhood memories. And I feel that it's because of the way the space was designed, like the close proximity that everyone was living in. But it was designed in a way that at the same time, even though we were all living very physically close to each other, everyone also had their own private spaces to retire to when they needed. Too. And I feel that like we don't really get that nowadays. And the thing is, I was just reading an article the other day, I don't remember where, but like the observation was that as people grow more affluent, they spend their money. Actually, one of the things that people spend their money on is space and privacy from other people. So like, you know, if you're getting on a plane, if you have more money, you would splurge on a business class ticket, because a business class ticket gives you more space and more privacy. You don't have to share your space with other people. And the same thing goes for like when you're buying a house. Like, you know, you don't buy a house like in a flat or like a terrace house. Instead, you buy a bungalow or a house in a gated community where you're secluded from everyone else. So I thought that was very interesting.
Right. And I guess what then would be the key elements of designing a space that encourages healthy social interactions?
I think it's about finding a balance between you know like being close like the example that I gave, the you know, the house that I grew up in. I don't necessarily feel that being like creating a space that's totally isolated from other people just for the sake of privacy or quiet or something is necessarily a good thing, because then it cuts you off from a lot of social interactions that are very important to us because we are human, right? Yeah, so I think it's really about finding that balance. But that said, I also feel that in terms just, you know, besides like spatial planning and arrangements, it's very important for us personally when we work on Colony to have one thing of a very key feature of our design is we look for buildings that come with huge windows. And even if there are no windows, we try to create windows and large double doors so that people can look out into the corridors or into the other offices. But because we have these windows, all these windows also come with like blinds or curtains. So when you need the privacy, you're able to just pull the curtain and have a private discussion or whatever. So I think it's about giving people the option to choose what they need for when the time comes.
Audrey, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Audrey Uy, Executive Director of Colony Co-working Space, talking about, I guess really in many ways, how to share public spaces or how to share working spaces in a way that would actually encourage healthy social interactions, as opposed to punching of seats, mm-hmm. which is what we're talking about today, or the impetus for why we're talking about this, which is that you may have seen that video of a man who just, with increasing anger, punched the seat of a reclining passenger in front of him. And so we've been asking you, are you a seat recliner or not? And also, what's your take on social etiquette in these sorts of situations? And what are your pet peeves? So far, people seem to be okay with reclining. So we have this from Damien, who says, reclining is not so big an issue for me. It's those armrest hoggers that really anger me.
Oh yeah, and this is also a problem I think we see in cinemas, because there is enough room, but it seems like sometimes there is an inclination to just take over the whole thing.
And no sympathy for the middle person. I think that's the main thing here. It's like, if you have somebody who's unlucky enough to be stuck with the middle seat, the least they can have is their armrests.
Yeah, no one wants that seat. So let's make it as comfortable as we can for each other, right?
Madiha says, I've seen people who like to straddle their feet up on the spaces between the seats of the row in front of them in movie theatres. Imagine watching a movie and having someone someone's stinky toes filling up that tiny gap next to you. I don't even know why this is a thing.
This also happens, again, in cinemas. I don't think it's so much a... Well, actually, let me correct that. I think it's still a problem even if there's no one in the seat, because we have to think about the fact that there will be another person sitting there in possibly a few hours' time.
This also happens on planes. People shoving their feet in between. Firstly, I mean, it's feet. Of all the things to kind of impose on someone else's space, feet, I think, is probably pretty high up there in terms of terribleness. I've also seen people prop their feet up on seats, which is gross, simply because someone's going to come and lean back on that. And I think that that is just one of those things where... Yeah, you're right. Whether there is a person in the seat or not, just don't do it.
Yeah. And there's also, you know, I think there's also another thing where I have been on this flight. This very rude man was sitting very close to me. He kept tapping the head of someone in front of me, unfortunately. The guy looked behind to you know, indicate to stop, but never quite did. He just, as he was talking to me, kept tapping this poor old man's head.
Why?
I don't know. His hands were... very wild.
I see. And then some contrasting views on reclining, which we'll get to after this, actually, because we do have to go into the news. But we are talking about reclining your seats on planes. Are you a seat recliner or are you not? I respect your right to recline. I myself don't do it simply because I'm like, don't want to inconvenience people. But at the same time, it's people's right, right? So that's exactly what we're discussing, as well as how to share public space. Well, you can call us with your thoughts, 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.